God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In Ephesians chapter 4, we started here last week talking about the need to grow, to mature, to move past spiritual infancy. And I felt compelled to go back into that arena. And I want to have you look at verse 11 of Ephesians 4. Paul does something here that creates a problem in the church if we don't carefully understand purpose. Everything God does, he does for a purpose, and we need to understand the purposes of God. And here in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave apostles, some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. And his purpose in doing that was to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Amen. Now we have to understand, what is the work of ministry? Paul doesn't spend a great amount of time identifying it. He simply says that the ministerial gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher is designed to equip you to do it, to do the work. You are not to expect the ministerial gift to do the work. They're to train you to do the work so that the body of Christ has purpose, internal purpose. We strive to fulfill the one anothering of Scripture. The work of the church is not evangelism. It is not preaching the gospel. It is not being a worship leader. The ministry gifts cannot teach you how to do that. That's not what Paul is addressing. When someone feels a so-called call into ministry, they immediately begin to try to understand what it is that God wants them to do. And so we travel all around within the Christian community trying to find someone to mentor us into what we should do. And mentoring has really become a casualty of human pride. Just to be able to say I'm someone's mentor, not realizing the depth of responsibility of that particular calling. And so we find a lot of people saying, oh, I'm mentoring this group, or I run into pastors who say to me, I have some younger men who want me to mentor them. What should I do? My initial response is run. Run. Don't get caught up in that, because in most cases it feeds the ego to be able to say, oh, I have a certain number of people under me. So we mess up a lot of the things of God by human understandings. I want you to be over me. I want you to have that apostolic position over me, and not realizing that in many cases we're pumping that person up to a place where God can't even sustain them. Pride is a deadly, deadly, deadly thing. But if you notice, when Paul talks about these ministerial gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher, he says that their task is to perfect the saints, so that they're able to do the work. Therefore, I suggest to you that the task of the ministry gifts is to give you character to do the work of God. And what is the work of God? John talks about this in 1 John, and he talks about it in his writings. He basically says the work of God is to love people. That's the work that you and I should be striving for. Not preaching, not teaching, not working in the vineyard, but the work that we should be reaching for is how to love my enemy and bless them that curse me. Anybody can come in church, get a license, and preach. Anybody can start doing quote-unquote church work. We have yet to identify church work in the position that makes everybody feel like they're contributing. Anybody can do that. You can attend a seminar. You can come in and you can learn how to perform funerals, but it doesn't mean you have the compassion that the family needs when they go through. You can come in and take classes on how to be an elder or a deacon, but it doesn't mean you live holy enough to be an example of Christ. And so with the preaching and the teaching that comes from these ministerial giftings, their task is to create character in us so that when God does decide to utilize that particular gift that he deposited in you, he doesn't have to fight through a whole lot of fleshly stuff, because it's terrible to preach what you can't practice. And so Paul here says that there is an extended obligation that we perfect the saints to do the work, but then he goes on and says that we're also perfecting them to edify the body. And that Greek word edify literally means to make, build a house. And so we build the body of Christ. You are taught how to build the body of Christ. And what does that look like in the 21st century? I'm hard pressed to come up with a definitive explanation, because the church has really, in many cases, lost their identity. We've become what we beheld, and now it's hard to disconnect from it because it became pleasurable to be what the world was. And so now we found that it's easier to be caught up into the worldly system than have the courage to split away and live the God system. We have become capitalistic in our Christian experiences, and we find ourselves thinking that the consummate Christian relationship is to be used of God. But when Jesus was confronted by the young man in Mark's gospel, when he asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love God and love people. And the more you process that command, you're finding that Jesus is really saying, God says you can't love me unless you love people, because true ministry towards God is reflected in your ministry towards others. So that's why he says, you can't love me if you don't love people. I can't forgive you if you don't forgive people. There seems to be something connecting here. I can't love God if I don't love you. God won't forgive me if I don't forgive you. Something seems to be suggested here, that my relationship with my fellow man supersedes what I think is a spiritual relationship to God. If you can't submit to me as the leader, you can't submit to God as your father. Because Jesus makes this statement like this. He said to the Pharisees, if you love God, if you truly are children of Abraham, then you would rejoice when you see my day. You can't call yourselves children of God and children of Abraham and fight me. You see how simple it is? It's not that difficult. What the devil's trying to do is cause us all to break up into small splinter groups and then develop a process of personality religion, which defeats the growth of the body. Amen. Paul says here that we are supposed to edify, build the body. And how long are we supposed to work in verse 12, verse 13? Till we come to the unity of the faith, until we all agree on the same thing, until we all understand that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of the Son of God, until we reach completeness. Because when we hear perfection, we think that means absence of faults.
But when this passage is written, the word perfect doesn't mean what we mean. It means completeness. By the time the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher has finished preaching and teaching, you will know when you've outgrown the ministries when your life lines up with what they preach. Then you literally can say, I'm just getting refresher courses. And the servant of God must be confident enough to continue to bring you the same truth until you're able to apply it. But as I say on many occasions, we are often pressured to bring you new stuff so you don't get bored. But the reality is, true learning comes from repetition. True learning doesn't come from hearing it once and moving on. You ever hear the old statements, you don't know anybody till you live with them? Well, it's the same person. The difference is you're seeing them every day. All right? All that other stuff was inside them. The more time you spend with a person, the more the facade breaks down and you see what really comes out of them. It's easy to love somebody that you don't live with, but try living with them. And then you get all the stuff. Ooh, glory to God. I'm messing around here. He said, till we come to the unity of the faith. I love this. There should not be any schism among us in areas of faith. He's not talking about doctrine. This is not doctrine. See, we can believe different things doctrinally. Some of you can believe that you speak in tongues. Others can say, well, I don't have to. That doesn't mean anything. But this unity of the faith is different than unity of doctrine. Unity of the faith means that by the time these five groups of people, or four groups, however you slice it, by the time these people get through preaching and teaching to us, we ought to have one mind. And that one mind should say, Jesus is Lord. That everything else is just window dressing. I don't care if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. If we agree on Jesus being Lord, then the small dogmatic things don't matter. See, that's why we can walk with those who may have a slightly different doctrinal application. But as long as the foundation is Jesus, we're all right.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
9417P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit ericlambertministries.com. ericlambertministries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit ericlambertministries.com and add to your digital library today.